It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a fun show today. Nathan Forlina is in the studio with us. He already tried to sabotage the show. I'll explain why in a second. Nathan has no idea what I'm talking about or why I'm laughing so much. But we're going to have some fun with this. What's up, man?
Listen, Corey lost his mind whenever I came in. Because, I mean, the premise was, he's asked me what my favorite Christmas tune was. I gave him my song, and then I can't repeat what he was saying on air. He was very upset that that was my favorite song. But I'm doing great today, Corey. How are you today?
Well, the game we're going to play is overrated, okay, underrated, properly rated. Okay. So we've got a whole bunch of things kind of at play here. And see, you did not listen, I'm sure, last week when I played my favorite Christmas song.
Which is what?
Well, I was going to play a game with you to see if you could figure it out. I was going to give you one hint.
Okay.
First of all, do you know what my all-time favorite song is, period?
Okay, is it Journey?
No.
No.
It's not. We spent a show on it last year.
Oh. We Are the World.
Okay. Based on that, what do you think my all-time favorite Christmas song is?
Do They Know It's Christmas?
Now you see what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So I asked Nathan, no one in the world, there's no one in the world whose favorite Christmas song is Do They Know It's Christmas. Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody. Except these two in the office.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Do They Know It's Christmas. Such a good song.
Oh, my gosh. It's Christmas time. I went through the singers. Paul Young.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be David Bowie. He replaced
David
Bowie.
At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it. And in our world of plenty.
All right, so Do They Know It's Christmas? Apparently, you and I are like the two of the only people that you can think of whose favorite song is Do They Know It's Christmas.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like a lot of people don't even know it's a song, weirdly enough. It's like, it's very...
It makes sense for me. What's my favorite song?
We Are the World.
Why is We Are the World my favorite song?
Because you have 20, some of the best 80s, 70s
singers. The
greatest
collection of 80s musicians ever. So it makes sense for me, at a 51-year-old man, these are the greatest British musicians.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily Paul Young, but Bono, this is Boy George, Simon Le Bon,
George Michael,
Sting, Phil Collins is on drums, it's great. So it makes sense for me, for my favorite Christmas. So why would a song in 1984 be the favorite Christmas song of a 20-year-old?
If you asked me 3 years ago, I wouldn't have said that song. But
okay.
I think the fact that the more I've expanded my knowledge of music, I have more appreciation for the song.
Okay.
And I think that factors in. I think it's just...
Do a soft underlay here while we're talking.
I think the fact that... This is so corny. But I think the fact that you have some... I also appreciate when there's so many different voices. That's why I like collaboration so much, is whenever you just switch it up. It's not the same thing forever. And then you got Phil Collins in the background hitting the drum. Oh, my God, it's so good.
So for this, overrated, underrated, properly rated song.
Extremely underrated.
Okay.
This falls on the spectrum of it's so underrated because, again, I feel like I'd imagine half the people don't even know this song, which is crazy to me. I'd never hear it on the radio.
Well, people your age wouldn't know it.
Absolutely not, yeah.
All right, so we're going to have some fun with this topic, overrated, underrated, properly rated. We're not just going to do Christmas. We're going to do a whole bunch of variety of topics here.
Okay.
We're going to start with James Franklin.
Okay.
All right, and then we're going to get back. I'm going to just jump all around. We're going to jump around like House of Pain at Camp Randall. Jump around. So we're going to...
Underrated song.
Yeah, we're going to jump all around. We're going to start with James Franklin now, since hopefully I've got your attention. College football week, blah, blah, blah. you know who this guy is? If you know who this guy is, by the way, going back to doing those, if you know who this guy is, you will blow my freaking mind.
Play.
I'll give you one hint here. It's coming up right here. Okay, any idea? Here's my hint.
Is he in a band?
He is in a band.
Were they big in like 84,
they
85?
Were big in that time frame. I'm going to give you one hint. You need a hint?
I don't know his name, but I think I might know the band.
What's the band?
I don't know. Do they have a few popular songs?
They had two tremendously popular
Shout
songs.
Shout was one of them?
No, that's Tears for Fears.
That's
a very
thinking.
Good guess.
That's what I was thinking.
If I give you that, true. I can't sing it the way he does. True. Spandau Ballet.
Oh, yes. I played them a couple weeks ago, actually.
Yes, Tony Hadley is, okay. Anyway, I just happened to see Tony Hadley up on my screen, so.
Yeah, I've never heard that name in my life. I know the band, but I don't know.
Under, or properly rated, underrated, overrated. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
James Franklin.
Properly rated.
Properly rated.
Because I think the national media understands and puts him in the position where everybody says he's overrated, so I think that makes him properly rated by default. Is because everybody understands that he does not win the big games. Everybody is on the same page that he recruits elite talent there, but he just hasn't got it done at the highest level. So from maybe Penn State expectations, if you're just talking to Penn State fans, maybe a little bit overrated. I know people are starting to get sick of it, but they might still view him as overrated. But I think the national feed views James Franklin as a properly rated coach, to where they're doing what they need to do. Their expectations from, again, everybody outside of this market pretty much is 10-2, 11-1. They're getting that done. That's how it goes. And they don't end up being the Ohio State, Michigan. And then what will soon happen is the Oregon will become the repeat as well, where they just don't get that done as well.
Okay. I've covered Penn State for 20 years. You think I'm pretty fair? Do you think I'm overly critical? You think that I'm too negative?
I think at times you're a little too negative.
Uh-huh.
But
I also
get it, because there's a point to everything you make has a good point, I think, at the end of the day.
I'll accept that. I would never expect anybody to agree with me all the time, but I'm gonna blow some people's minds here. When I say, are you ready for this? This is Corey Geiger on December 17th, 2024. Shut the hell up, all you people that want to bitch at me all the time. I think that James Franklin is underrated.
Okay. Explain. I'd love to hear that explanation.
He clearly cannot beat Ohio State. How many have? He has a program that goes 10-2 consistently. That is unbelievably difficult to do in today's era of players going left and right. But I'm going to go back even further to 2016. What James Franklin, with the help of a miracle, pulled off in 2016 was a miracle in and of itself. Nobody. Okay, here's the thing. People around the country thought Penn State was going to be dead for 10, 15 years, or maybe never recover, because we saw that with SMU.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people around the country thought. People who covered Penn State football, and I can't speak for fans, because I think fans probably felt this way, but you know, I think the people that covered and knew what was in place in the program still felt Penn State was going to be okay. There was not going to be a collapse of 2-10. That was not ever going to happen, because they can schedule three non-con wins every year, and the Big Ten schedule, even for a bad Penn State team, should result in 3, 4, 5 wins. So you always kind of thought 5, 6 wins was still going to be possible. But by 2016, nobody thought a Big Ten championship was possible. That was still 5 years ahead of schedule. I thought Penn State could still be competitive, and they were pretty competitive at times in 2014, 2015, beat Wisconsin, you know, in a good game where they were 3 touchdown underdogs. But I go back to what James started in 2016. A miracle win against Ohio State leads to a miracle season. And, you know, as time has passed, I was very critical of James in 2020. Because they started 0-5. They were the number 7 team in the country to begin the season. Started 0-5. It's the worst start ever by a top 10.
Michael Penix ruined Penn State.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. The 2-point version, which wasn't. I was there. Wasn't he? I don't think it was 2. I think he was down. Anyway, I've given him more of a pass on that over time. because COVID was ridiculous. Micah Parsons sat out. James Franklin's family was in Georgia for a year. Let's be realistic and understand the humanity part of it here. His daughter has sickle cell anemia. During COVID, she had to leave here. She had to go to a safer place. They spent a year in Georgia. James Franklin's a family man. He's a routine man. He's a very consistent person. If I had to live a year without my family, I couldn't function. So I give him more of a pass for 2016 or 2020. 2021, you know, the number four team in the country. They're up big on Iowa, and you're going to win that game. You're going to be the number two team in the country. And then Sean Clifford gets hurt, and then the whole Taquan Roberson thing. It was a disaster. They didn't have a backup quarterback. And we can clearly blame James Franklin not having a backup quarterback prepared. They had five false start penalties, for God's sake, with Taquan. Now, it might have been eight. I can't remember. I have to look that up. But there was a massive amount of – they couldn't even run the offense.
It was inept for an entire half. It was ridiculous.
And you can blame James Franklin. So, but after that, 2022, they bounced back. 23, 24, they've bounced back. So when I look at James – and you try to take a 30,000-foot view, we can blame him for not being able to beat Ohio State. He has beaten Michigan some.
He's not horrendous against Michigan, but he hasn't beaten Michigan in their good years. That's the thing.
Correct, right.
He's beaten,
and they've gone out there and gotten destroyed a couple times and gotten really embarrassed.
Yes, yes.
But if we're doing overrated, underrated, properly rated, I mean, Penn State is a consistent number eight team in the country. And is that elite? No. Is that better than 98% or 97% of the rest of the country? Yes. So while I can criticize his in-game decisions, I think he still has a ways to go with the in-game decisions. I want to try to be fair. Maybe I'm just in a holiday festive mood or whatever, and give him a little more benefit of the doubt than I still think a lot of Penn State fans are willing to give him.
And listen, the reason I just can't put him in the underrated category is because he's not going above and beyond in beating those
teams.
That's
correct. That's correct.
So that's why I can't.
You can poke a bunch of holes in my argument. Go ahead.
That is honest to God the only reason why I don't put him as underrated, because it is. I mean, I don't think Penn State fans take it for granted with how consistently good they are and don't realize that programs typically go up and down. There are five to six stable programs in this country. The rest of them, you see Michigan right now, they're on the downward spiral. Is it going to be kind of a Penn State situation where they're relevant for a year or two? Potentially, but I mean, a lot of programs really are, like SMU, they're rising up. They'll, I'm assuming, fall back down. I mean, over the last 10 years, the only programs I can think of are Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia that have been consistently at the top. You haven't seen, unless I'm missing a big team that I just can't think of right now, but usually there's not those teams in which you can count on to be a top 10 team every year. Penn State has been that for the last 8 years outside of a COVID year, then a 2021 collapse. So it's, again, I don't hate the argument that he's underrated because people don't appreciate him enough how he's done with this program. Like you said, came in a really bad time in 2016.
Let
me
throw
back on the map.
I want to throw one more thing in my defense that we just take it for granted. Everybody takes it for granted that it's an understood that they beat everybody they're supposed to beat. Well, most teams don't even do that.
Alabama lost to Oklahoma this year.
And so,
Georgia lost to Ole Miss when they shouldn't. There's plenty of teams that don't
do
that.
And that's the thing. You know, while Penn State loses to Ohio State, they don't lose to anybody else. And a lot of these games are favored big time, you know, double digits. So I don't want to go overboard. This was a tough decision. I'm not just trying to sell out here. But to be able to show up, the 1-0 mentality, as much as I hate that crap, you know, and he doesn't want to say any game is a big game, which is bullshit, bleep. You know, the 1-0 mentality is real. Penn State doesn't lose games it shouldn't lose.
They don't look ahead. They don't.
If they lose to SMU, I will come in and I'll rip the hell out of James Franklin and say he's a failure next week. Okay? Yeah. So, but that's the world we live in.
Yeah. Football's a week-by-week basis.
Exactly.
There's really no, hey, we're going to – like, that's how football is. So, I mean, literally, over the last 4 years, he's lost one game he shouldn't have lost to, and that was Illinois. Unless I'm forgetting.
Not the nine overtime game, yeah. In which Sean Clifford probably shouldn't have been playing in that game. He was still banged up, and he probably shouldn't have been playing. My buddy Mike, a longtime Penn State season ticket holder, said, Franklin himself said Penn State needs to be elite, so by his own standards, he's failed. So we'll get into that maybe on Thursday.
Every coach says that, though. Every coach says they need to be an elite program. That's not
every coach, but the teams in that realm. We'll get into Thursday maybe how many games they've got to win for this to be a success.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Andy from Altoona, Corey.
Andy, what's up?
Nothing. I want to talk a little NIL, okay?
Okay, fire away.
Here's the thing, Corey. Not everybody benefits from it. I would be all for it if everybody benefited from it. Nobody is going to pay for the Penn State long snapper's autograph on a football unless they're related to him. So not everybody benefits. If more people benefited from it, I would be all for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, NIL, the superstars are going to get paid. Drew Aller's coming back next year. What do you think, Nathan? I think Drew's going to get $2.5 million next year.
I was thinking around $2 million, but $2.5 million, I mean, definitely could be in the ballpark.
For him to come, I mean, he was making $8 million reportedly this year. I think Nick Singleton is going to turn pro. He wouldn't answer today what he's going to do. But, you know, but to his point, backups and everything, maybe they're not getting hundreds of thousands, but they're getting something. Yeah. I think they're getting a lot more than they've gotten before.
For your name to be used in the football video game, you got $600. I mean, that's...
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah, why not? Just put your name in a video game and get $600. It's good. It's good. I like NIL.
Andy, you doing well? Happy holidays, man.
I'm still in a rehab facility. I don't know how long I'm going to be here.
Well, good luck.
I'm probably going to spend the third straight Christmas in a medical facility somewhere.
Well, good luck to you, man.
Good luck, Andy.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks, Andy. All right. So if you want to jump in on our properly rated, underrated, overrated on James Franklin, 946-0435. What do you think of this little ditty here, Nathan? Underrated,
ditty?
Overrated, properly rated. First of all, let me just stop here, because we're watching the video. Mariah Carey in this video, underrated, overrated, properly rated, out of this world.
I can't get a full gauge on it, but I'll go properly rated.
Oh, my gosh. Mariah Carey in this. There was an original version of this video 20 years ago. It's like a home movie kind of thing. The new All I Want for Christmas with Mariah Carey in her tight little red Santa suit. I can barely watch the video here. All right, here we go. All right, so when all is said and done, in the history of music, this song is going to spend more weeks at number one than any song ever.
Yes, every Christmas.
So right now, All I Want for Christmas, it's the number one song in the country this week on the Billboard Top 100. That is the 16th week for Mariah Carey at number one with this song, which was released 30 years ago.
1994.
And didn't hit number one until 2019. So, but the two songs that lead at 19 weeks are Lil Nas X,
Old Town Road,
and then the Shaboozy song, the bar song. So, that in the history of the Billboard Hot 100, those two songs have spent 19 weeks at number one. All I Want for Christmas is at 16 weeks. It will get there within a couple of years, because it's going to spend a week every year probably for the next few years. So when all is said and done, so you think this song overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Properly rated. I know it's played a
way
ton.
To go out on a limb, man. You're just really on a limb today.
Yeah, listen, I know a lot of people hate this song. Being overplayed doesn't make it overrated, in my opinion. It's a good song at the end of the day. You just hear it 1,000 times every December, and it gets a little bit old, but. I mean, it's still a banger. It's a great song.
Makes it overrated to me.
Okay.
Again, Mariah Carey in the video, 1,000,000% underrated, my God. But the song itself, it's a very good song. I hear it 10 times a day.
So it's, that makes it overrated for you.
Because
you hear it so much.
It's so oversaturated.
Oversaturated, okay.
So oversaturated, overrated, they can kind of be the same. It's a very, very good song. I would rather listen to this than Bing Crosby's I'm Dreaming of a Wild. I mean, I fall asleep to that crap. Yeah. That's been the biggest Christmas song for 70 years since it came out in the 50s. So I would much rather listen to All I Want for Christmas. But I don't. It doesn't bring a smile to my face every time the way some other songs do.
I agree with that. It doesn't bring a smile to my face. But you just, I mean, if you hear that, especially in the beginning of November, you're like,
right, you know, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas season.
Number two
Christmas
this season. Week is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee, which hit number one last year for the first time.
Yes.
That song came out in 1958.
I thought it was 1963.
I think it was 58. You look it up here. But anyway, it took all that time, and it finally hit number one. It's number two this week behind that. All right, welcome to the show. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Hey, you're with me. Go ahead. All right. Okay, I think we
named it. It was 58. That's
was it 58? Right.
Do you know how old she was whenever she—
How old was she?
13 years old.
Oh, my God, really?
13.
I read a story last week that song today like generates $2 to $3 million for her estate.
That's wild.
And All I Want for Christmas is like $6 million a year.
Yeah, that's wild.
All right, welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's caller number two, I think.
All right. Hey, what do you got, buddy? I want to hear your thoughts on James Franklin. Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Overrated.
Overrated? He wins 10 games every year, man.
I could win 10 games with that team.
Could you? That is the prevailing notion a lot of people say about Penn State when I get angry. But could you do it every year? Could you have your team ready to play every week and beat every team? That's a harder thing than people give it credit for.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you got to win the big game once in a while. And then if they had beaten Oregon, that would have put him. That would have been good, and they did play hard, but. He's got to get over the top at some point, just like my man Day. I'm the same way with Ryan Day. He's overrated. Well, I don't know if he's not overrated today. They're going to probably get rid of him if he loses.
Here's the difference, though, man. Penn State ain't Ohio State, and to be perfectly honest with you, it's not close. Okay, Ohio State's history and finances and backing and NIL. And all of that stuff, it really, I don't want to say the word dwarfs because that overdoes it. Ohio State's NIL this year is $20 million. Penn State's 13. I mean, you're talking, you've got a 50% more value in your roster. And basically you needed a goal line stand because Penn State's coaches were stupid, not giving the ball to Tyler Warren inside the 5-yard line. That's what I'm getting at. And look, now Penn State, compared to everybody else or a lot of other teams, they don't have the resources. But Penn State is not – they don't have the best stadium in the world. The stadium is old and decrepit. It's got the best student section and all that, and atmosphere is great. But they don't have the most money. They recruit at 10th, 12th, 15th in the country. You know, a lot of things they do – you've heard me say this before. They're 10th, 12th, 15th in the country. So to be that and to still be able to beat the people you're supposed to beat every week, should they get more credit even though they don't win the big game?
I say no.
Okay.
I'll just say,
right.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to stand on my – I do have a song for you, though.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. What do you got?
Overrated, underrated. I love the old songs Bing and everybody, but this one is called "Underneath the Tree" by Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, I love that. That's actually I was reading the Billboard Hot 100 today. That song is like I think it was number 15 when I looked today. Let me just scan it real quick.
That's a massive song too.
Let's see. It is number.
I like it.
It's number 15 this week, and that song was what, like 10 years ago?
Yeah, she wrote that with her producer. She wrote that song with the help of her producer. That's pretty impressive.
I love
play a little bit.
I will
play a little bit.
I pulled it up here. I'm a huge, huge fan of Kelly Clarkson. She is a absolutely beautiful woman. The fact that she came from American Idol is amazing enough. I got to sit through the Metro by T-Mobile commercial here on YouTube before I can play it here.
No free ads.
Yeah, I'm not giving them a free commercial giving away iPhone 12s. What is this, 2018 or something?
2013 Underneath the Tree came out. 2013.
So here we go. I'm with you there, man. That is a highly underrated song. That's a tremendous Christmas song.
Hey, what? Oh, go ahead.
You're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, watch her audition. Her first audition. She ends up sitting with the judges, and Randy gets up and sings for her. It's amazing.
For American Idol?
Yeah.
So back in the day, like 20 years ago, Randy Jackson gets up and sings with her.
Well, here's what happened. She comes out and sings, and she hit it. I mean, I didn't think it sounded great, but, you know, they're experts. Simon's, they're experts at picking up that there was talent. But then they start joking around. So then she sits where Randy was, and he sings he's a terrible singer, but he gets on his knees and belts out a few songs and then lets Kelly and Simon
awesome.
And Abdul. Yeah, it's really cool, and she's so cute.
I've never heard that.
A little girl.
That's a great story. That's a good call on this song. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, take care. Bye.
What's cool is, like, if you pull up the Hot 100 this week, number one is All I Want for Christmas. Number two is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Number three is Jingle Bell Rock. Number four is Last Christmas. Number five is Holly Jolly Christmas Burrow Lives. Then we got to get to some Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars and Kendrick Lamar, blah, 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 bar song. Sabrina Carpenter's in there somewhere. Andy Williams, Most Wonderful Time. I mean, you got like 10 songs in the top 17 songs that are all Christmas songs.
Yeah, but my one question is, where is Do They Know It's Christmas?
I know. I know. I didn't see it. All right, we'll take some more calls here in a second.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Stand by for a big announcement. The year is coming to an end. J&P Automart is celebrating with a huge end-of-year blowout. The lowest prices of the year are happening now at J&P Automart. Come in during December and save big on your new ride. J&P Automart has one of the largest inventories of cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in Central PA. They've been in business for over 60 years with big savings. It's the end-of-year blowout at J&P Automart, Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast,
Specificos. Bread and Roll Specificos.
Hank FM. All right, overrated, underrated, properly rated. Nathan's got a movie, some songs here. What you got? We want to ask Die Hard. Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
I think Die Hard's properly rated, but it's definitely a Christmas movie.
You got to go out on a limb. You got to give me some kind of different answer than properly rated.
Well, I think it is. I
actually think it's underrated. As great as Die Hard is, you mean to tell me I could watch 30 minutes of Die Hard at any point in my life, mm-hmm. and I'd be all right with that.
I mean, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's honestly not my genre mostly. Like, I like action, but it's a little maybe too much action.
And you brought up about the Christmas element.
Yes, it takes place around Christmas time. If you argue Home Alone's a Christmas movie, first of all, Home Alone is a Christmas movie. I'm not denying that. Both of them are Christmas movies. But if you argue that that's a Christmas movie, you have to say Die Hard's a Christmas movie because they both take place around Christmas. I mean, Die Hard's what? Christmas Eve, right?
Yep.
Die Hard's Christmas Eve.
Nakatomi Plaza.
Home Alone's actually a week out of Christmas when we start, like 4 or 5 days out. I mean, it's Christmas Eve whenever the Harry and Marv try to get in the house.
I've talked to some people who will argue that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, but I think over time it's been one of those discussions that everybody's just kind of throwing their arms up and just say, okay, fine, mm-hmm. it's a Christmas movie. So, yes. All right, let's go back to the phone line. I think we got Jerry in Bellwood. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, I got some songs for you. Couple of my favorite Christmas songs, you probably never even heard of them. One is by the Kinks, Father Christmas. Did you ever hear that?
Probably, but I don't recognize the title, but I'll find it here. But
Another one, because I think it's underrated, another one's underrated is I Believe in Father Christmas by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Did you ever listen for that?
I've not. You're going.
I've never heard of that one.
You're going way back with these old time groups and stuff.
Well, that's me. That's because I'm old time.
I love it. Here's the Kinks, Father Christmas. Come on. Pretty good. Was it 70s?
Late 70s, probably.
He goes, I believe in Santa Claus, though I knew it was my dad. I'm sold on it right now.
Good verse.
Open my presents and I'll be glad. But the last time I played Father Christmas, I stood outside a department store. A gang of kids came over and mugged me.
So this thing turns very dark very quickly, Jerry.
It does. That's why I like it.
It's like, I do like that sign. I didn't believe in Santa Claus, although it was my dad. That's pretty good right there to start a song.
Yeah, the Kinks have some really cool songs.
Wait a minute. So, like, if I keep listening to this, am I going to be in, like, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds territory? Is it just going to get all completely zany or what?
No, it won't get zany. It'll just get kind of depressing because it's talking about kids who have no money and so they don't get anything for Christmas. But, you know, that's the Kinks.
Okay. All right.
But the other one you should listen to sometime is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Father Christmas. I Believe in Father Christmas, or I Believe in Father Christmas. Another album, and I bet you I'm in the minority on this, but I really like the Beach Boys Christmas songs. You know, I know I shouldn't like it because it's kind of.
Didn't you just
simple.
Mention that, Nathan?
Yeah, I said in the
Nathan
break,
just said
little
5 minutes
Nick.
Ago. Little Saint Nick, is that one you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, the whole album is good. Sometimes when you listen to the Beach Boys, you listen to their lyrics, you think, well, they're simple. But when you listen to them, they're kind of deep at the
it's
same
the
time.
It's the Little Saint Nick.
Yes. Yeah, not that. Not those songs.
That's
they're
pretty
not
good. That's pretty good.
That's a great song.
Yeah, one other thing I wanted to see what you I think daylight savings time is overrated.
It's ludicrous.
Couldn't agree more.
We've got to get rid of that stuff.
It's 2024.
I'm not getting
get
into the
it.
Political realm. I don't care what anybody's politics, whatever the hell you think. But the guy did say last week that he's going to be looking to get rid of daylight savings time if he can. That's a good thing.
I thought they were supposed to be getting rid of years ago.
Well, it's like a year and a half ago, but then for some reason it fell through at the last minute.
They always say they're going to get rid of it, and nobody ever does. But Hey, and as far as James Franklin goes, I think he's properly rated because it's well known. Like your first caller, I think it was your first caller, said everybody knows he doesn't win the big games, and you know you don't. And like you said, Corey, you don't win 10 games a year and you can't be a bad coach. I mean, so I think he's properly rated.
Okay, very good. Appreciate it. How about this gem, Nathan?
Let's hear it.
Oh yeah. The late George Michael. What do you got? Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Properly rated because everybody knows it's a banger. Everybody does.
Doug's in there, got his ears closed. Like that's great stuff,
that's
man.
Fantastic. And it,
don't you disrespect George Michael over there?
There are so many weird things that go on with George Michael on Christmas because
yes,
he died on Christmas.
He died on Christmas. There was like around 2015.
I think his
take.
Sister died on Christmas too, or something like that.
This is weird. I have no reason to feel this way so much, but maybe because of the day, there are those things in life that you remember exactly where you were and what you were doing.
Yeah.
Like for you, you wouldn't recognize this, but the Space Shuttle Challenger, everybody my age remembers where they were when Space Shuttle Challenger exploded in 86. And there are some other things. I remember where I was when I found out George Michael died because it was Christmas Day, and I was sitting on the couch at my mother-in-law's house, and we were just doing Christmas. This was 2016, mm-hmm. and I remember reading the tweet, and we just sat around just like all stunned because you're not expecting, because we were all kids of the 80s there then.
Yeah, he was probably early 60s at that point because I think he was
1963
was he born,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So that was, but that was a great song. All right, we're gonna do some more of this. We're gonna do Mike Tomlin here.
Ooh.
Overrated, underrated, properly rated. Coming up here in a minute.
Our look at the top 16 playoff drivers of the 2024 NASCAR racing season rolls on, and coming in at number 10 is Martin Truex Jr., who wrapped up a career as a full-time Cup Series driver with no wins, unfortunately. 5 top fives, 11 top tens. 3 DNFs, 555 laps led, and 4 stage wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's still hard to believe, honestly. I was talking to Barney last week. We texted back and forth a couple times. He's like, we sure did turn upside down the NASCAR establishment. That was fun, you know. So just to be able to do something like that in this day and age, or, you know, 2017 era, I mean, to be able to do what we were doing then, it was really, you know, something special and spectacular. And we just had a lot of fun, and it was a great time for all of us. Racing wise, I mean, I'm going to do Daytona 500, and then, you know, I'm looking forward to running some Xfinity cars a bit here and there, just to have fun and see how it goes. And I really enjoy that style of car, you know, low downforce and just the older cars that we raced. So I'm looking forward to doing a little bit of that again. And other than that, not sure, but I've got a lot of hobbies and I need to catch up on those, and I'm excited about that.
He does plan to be back in the race car for the Daytona 500, so technically, he won't even miss a race just yet. That's our look at the number 10 driver of the 2024 NASCAR racing season, Martin Truex Jr. Up next is number 9 on the final lap.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. That's right. Now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on 3 great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks, whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet. Everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. Nathan just asked me to guess his favorite Christmas movie, so I don't have a good guess. You said it's just happened in the last couple of years here.
Well, the movie didn't release last couple of years, but it just, the more I watch, the more I'm like, This is the cream of the crop. This is the best Christmas movie out there.
Is it a classic, or is it just something that
classic? It's a classic. It's one of those staple ones that everybody watches every year around.
Well, here's the thing. I really can't stand A Christmas Story anymore. So if you say that, I'm kicking
them
out.
But I do like that movie. But it's on 24 hours.
I've seen it
Christmas
a million times. You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
That's probably the most watched movie I've ever seen because it's on.
It's
all
on
the time.
All the time, right? Yes. So the other one is Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
If you say that one, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's
your favorite movie? Because we watch it every year.
I think it's just hilarious.
And my father-in-law, before he died, because it was such a big movie, my wife and myself and my father-in-law and I think maybe her sister, we went to see it on the big screen 7 or 8 years ago before he died. And so you watch it on TV. It's on some. Sometimes it's on TV all day long on Christmas, but to go back and watch it on the big screen was a cool thing.
The entire movie's just because I can totally see myself being in that situation, and I'm like, you have to be joking. Because
my favorite Christmas movie is Christmas Vacation.
It's gotta be.
We don't go a year because for a long time, Christmas Story, you know, was shown all the time. Now it's kind of been replaced a little bit by Christmas Vacation, but Christmas Vacation is kind of getting to be replaced by another movie that I think both of us think is highly overrated.
I'm not going to say highly, I'm going to say slightly.
It's a fun movie. I don't think that it lives up to the legendary iconic status, and that would be
Elf. With Elf, I can watch it once a year.
Right.
Christmas Vacation, I could watch 2 to 3 times.
Right.
And it's still good every time. Elf, it's like, I got to watch it once a year. Then after a while, it's like, okay, I don't care that he's pouring syrup on his spaghetti.
Yes.
It's not funny anymore.
To me, Elf is pretty badly overrated. It is fun. Will Ferrell is such an idiot. If that happened in real life, like this is a real conversation. Why is he such an idiot? Why is his character such a clueless moron?
This guy has something wrong with him.
Yeah, right? I didn't care for that part of it. It is a good movie. I think it's probably the most overrated.
I would agree with you. So some of the worst, I think, Christmas the Cranks is horrendous. I hate that movie, Christmas.
Is that Reese Witherspoon?
No, that is Jamie Lee Curtis, and I think it's Tim Allen also.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
That's not a good one. It's a Wonderful Life, I think, is extremely overrated. It's my dad's favorite Christmas movie. I just don't like it. I'm looking at like the popular Christmas movie. Love Actually is a very good movie.
Wait a second here. Okay, so my all-time favorite movie is About Time, which is directed by Richard Curtis, who directed Love Actually and Four Weddings and a Funeral and Notting Hill. Richard Curtis is a tremendously talented director. I watch Love Actually every Christmas. I watch some specific scenes of Love Actually throughout the year, because there are some just phenomenal scenes from Love Actually that we're talking about, the ensemble cast with Hugh Grant and Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, Colin Firth, all these people in England. And I watch it every year. It is a horrendous movie.
You think?
It is the best bad movie ever made.
I mean, it's fair. That's fair. I think it's a good movie because it's a little bit on the edge.
It's unbelievably watchable.
Yeah.
The characters are incredibly likable. Mm. And again, I'm a big Richard Curtis fan. His movies, he makes the characters incredibly likable. Of all of the love stories, how many times have you seen Love Actually?
Like once or twice.
Okay.
Only a few times.
I don't want to ruin it for you, but if you watch it 8 or 10 times, the stories are so stupid. The stories don't make any sense at all. Colin Firth falls in love with the woman. I think she's from Portugal. They never speak. They don't speak at all. He just falls in love with her. Martine McCutcheon, who plays Hugh Grant's love interest, he's the prime minister. They keep calling her fat throughout the movie. It's unbelievably disgusting how they keep calling her fat. She's not a fat woman at all. She's a very good-looking woman. A lot of the stories in it, because Love Actually is such a classic, it's been dissected so much that if you dissect it and you really put pen to paper of what some of the bad stories. It's a shame because, like I said, I'm glad you mentioned this. We didn't discuss this beforehand. I consider Love Actually the best, most watchable, terrible movie ever made.
That's fair.
If you ever watch it again, just look at some of the love stories and you're like, this is so dumb. Why would this happen? But they're good characters and they're cool characters. So here's the famous scene. Keira Knightley, who is an unbelievable actress. She's tremendously beautiful. There's a famous scene in Love Actually where she gets married and her husband's best friend is Andrew Lincoln, Rick Grimes from Walking Dead. So Andrew Lincoln knocks on the door. Keira Knightley answers the door after they've been married. They just got married. She just married his best friend. And the very, 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 very famous scene is he's got all these cue cards like that he pulls off one after another. Mm-hmm. He wants to profess his love to her. And even though he knows it'll never blah, 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 he just wants her to know that she's perfect. Keira Knightley was 17 years old when he made that movie. He was like 28. Can you believe that?
I
know a lot about this movie.
That'd be uncomfortable.
But she was 17 years old. And so there's a famous clip on YouTube where she's talking about Richard Curtis. She says, Richard comes up to me and says, Keira, you're making this creepy. And she says, well, it is creepy. And he's like, no, you have to make it fun. So when you watch her in the movie, she's one of the most beautiful women ever, the way she handles the scene. But if you got married to a girl and your best friend showed up at Christmas with those cards, wouldn't that be the creepiest thing in the world?
Oh, my God, yeah. I couldn't imagine that.
And I love the scene. Again, that's what I'm talking about. I love the scene. I love the movie. I love all these characters. But it's so terrible what they're awful, awful people.
It's weird. It's a little strange.
Yeah. Anybody wants to call it to offer us a movie or a song to dissect, we could. I could do Love Actually a lot, unfortunately.
Just Friends, we did mention Just Friends.
Just Friends,
Ryan
Reynolds.
If you haven't seen that movie, great. The Holdovers from last year, if you haven't seen that yet, 100% watch that. And then also Bad Santa. Bad Santa's great.
I think Bad Santa is criminally underrated. That movie is amazing.
The wooden pickle scene.
Yes.
I was laughing for 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Bad Santa. When I first watched that with Billy Bob Thornton, I watched it at theaters. I actually did a movie review for it, and I just like, oh, my God, this is the craziest thing ever.
You're right. It's criminally underrated. If people haven't watched it, I mean, it's vulgar, but it's ridiculously funny. I keep going back to the wooden pickle scene. I don't know why it's so funny to me.
This is a great band from the 80s. This is one of my most underrated Christmas songs.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white, a heaven of diamonds shine down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill and the weather.
If you don't know who this is, that is Annie Lennox and
love
the Eurythmics.
Knows no season, love knows no climb, romance can blossom any old time. Here in the open, we're walking and hoping together. Sleigh bells ring,
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to close our overrated, underrated with Mike Tomlin and Drew Aller, saving the best for last.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. That's right, now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts, only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, wrapping up here, we got our big finish. We do want to thank J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars.
Overrated, underrated, J.M. Boswell's
Pipes and Cigars. Oh, vastly underrated. That's the best cigar place ever, man. We appreciate J.M. Boswell's for all they do. Highly underrated. All right, so Mike Tomlin, Nathan, what you got on overrated, underrated, properly rated for Mike Tomlin?
I don't want to be boring again, but properly rated.
You are the most boring person ever at this game.
I know, because I feel like, again, the national media is giving him his flowers of what he does. So I'm thinking of it more as a national stand. Around here, I think he's underrated because I think people are sick of him. But again, it's that thing where in the NFL, it's hard to win 9-10 games, and he does that on a consistent basis. So in our area, I don't think he gets the respect he deserves, sort of like James Franklin, how you were kind of mentioning.
Yes.
That.
And
but
I,
on the national feed, he's properly rated. People understand what he's doing is fantastic.
I painted myself into a corner with James Franklin because he beats the people he's supposed to beat and blah, blah, blah. And that was some of my reasoning. But again, I go back to 2016 and program building and resurrecting the program. We have to give James credit for that. So that's part of my reason why I will kind of slightly go a little underrated with James Franklin. I think Mike Tomlin is one of the most overrated coaches in the history of the universe. I think that he took over one of the greatest sports organizations in the world. He inherited a whole bunch of players. He inherited a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he did a lot with them, and he should have done a hell of a lot more.
So you think those two Super Bowls in the
he inherited
10 years.
A Hall of Fame quarterback he had to do nothing for.
Yeah, yes, I will. I
he
will
has
say
no
yes.
coaching tree whatsoever. So, not so a single one of his assistants He has no coaching tree. It's laughable when you take a look at his coaching tree.
Yes, he doesn't have a coaching tree. That hurts him. And that's why the first Super Bowl you can – or I guess Coward was there for the first Roethlisberger Super Bowl. So the second Super Bowl, he's only won one, was 09 when against the Cardinals. So I don't think of that as his Super Bowl. He coached, I understand it. But, again, the roster was pretty much built by Coward. And that wasn't Tomlin's job right there. Tomlin's got to get done at some point. That's why I feel like it's just the fact that you don't lose games in the NFL whenever the roster, if you put it in the hands of someone else, I don't know how this Steelers team looks for the next 10 years.
Sure. I think that I would have traded one or two or three losing seasons during all this for a higher upside at some point. If you're never
Are we talking Super Bowl or are we talking like an AFC championship?
You haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. You've got to do something in the postseason.
You're almost feeling like the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they have every couple of years they go on a run, which they may make it to the divisional or the...
Yeah, give me two...
Is it worth it, though, at that point?
Three losing seasons a decade if you get to three AFC championship games and one or two Super Bowls. So he has built his entire fortress and foundation on not having a losing season. But that's not the goal. The goal is to win a championship. The goal is not to go 10-7, 9-8.
Correct. And I will give him a pass because the quarterback situation has been really strange since now 2017, 2018, they should have won a playoff game. But really since 2019 to now, it feels like they haven't had an elite quarterback. And I don't think Russell is an elite quarterback. But Russell should win a playoff game.
He pissed away the last few years of Ben's career.
But you think Ben honestly would have led the Steelers to a Super Bowl at all? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, Ben, as much as I love Ben, Ben was a shell of himself from past 2018, really whenever they lost Antonio Brown. I mean, when you lose a top receiver, you're significantly worse. That's why I've given him a little bit of a pass here, and the fact that you've still made stuff work with those quarterbacks, and they really haven't been blown out. I mean, I think there was 1 year which the Chiefs kind of manhandled them, but, I mean, even last year they competed with the Bills. I mean, it wasn't like it was a complete blowout with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph did a pretty good job last year, I thought.
He did solid. But you think that more wasn't what
Mike
Tomlin...
Mike Tomlin has done a nice job, but the you coach a team where the standard is the standard and six Super Bowls and you can't win a playoff game. That's abject failure to me.
It is.
Let's close here. We have a minute and a half on Drew Aller. You going to go properly rated again?
I'm going to go overrated for Drew Aller.
All right, how come?
I do like Drew Aller. I think he's slowly improving, but there are still some things I look at, and maybe it's just the lack of receivers on the roster. I think that significantly hinders him, but even with Drew Aller, he's lost now four big games. I mean, if you're considering the bowl game,
he doesn't win big games.
He doesn't win big games either, and I think I'd put that more on the quarterback to make plays than James Franklin. I understand he's abiding by the play calls and stuff like that, but he's expected to have another year. We're assuming he made a statement, but if you win a national championship, I don't know if you come back for another year when you're going to be a top three pick probably, so we'll kind of have to... I guess you shouldn't go back on your word, but you never know.
You brought up a good point about the wide receivers. It's not all his fault. I think Drew Aller is significantly overrated. I think he is a game manager at best. If he had better receivers, maybe we would see. If I'm an NFL team, I am not taking Drew Aller in the first couple rounds.
I think he is the highest upside and also the highest flop potential. Like, I feel like he's not going to be like...
I think there's decent upside there. But I don't think he's going to be like a Josh Allen comparison. I think the flop potential is significant with Drew Aller.
Yeah, and that's how a guy like Josh Allen came out of college, which was the same exact way, too.
All right, good stuff, man. We will catch you tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service of Leitner Communications.
Life from the long arm of the law. Law.